are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, December the 11th, and let's talk trades. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, I'm going to tell you why you need to set up your trade opinions for the Detroit Pistons now and don't wait until the new year, what you think the direction of this team should go, what kind of specific outlines you should have for players and what kind of trades would make sense for those players. Set them up now. I'm going to tell you why it needs to be now as opposed to later. I'm also going to give you my blueprint, the trade scenarios that I think the Pistons should look at and where I stand with each of the players that could be on the block. A little bit later on, I'm going to tell you about a fun and impactful ticket offer for a game coming up in March that you need to act on before February 7th with listener Brandon. You're going to want to hear this. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons, we know, are back in action on Thursday night against Dallas in Mexico City. We'll preview that one tomorrow with Brian Zillum of the Blue Hardwood podcast. So look out for that. But Pistons 10-14, got that game in Mexico City on Thursday. That's a 9 o'clock start, by the way. And then Saturday in Houston, same 9 o'clock start for them. There, the Rockets will be on the second half of a back-to-back at Orlando on Friday. The Pistons will return home on Monday to take on the Washington Wizards. But in that mix, you know, obviously the next couple days talking about Dallas, previewing that game. Thursday, Friday, we'll be talking about the Dallas game and looking ahead to the weekend. But this weekend, we won't have a chance to talk trades. And it's important because coming up this Sunday is December 15th. It's an important day on the NBA calendar. It's basically the unofficial opening of trade season. And that's because players can now be traded starting December 15th that join their teams via free agency this offseason. So what better time than right now to preview trade season? And I just think it needs to be established right now what you think on the Pistons. Don't let really the record or what things happen in these next few weeks. And I'm not saying that you need to make these moves on December 15th, but I don't think that you should let results, particularly results in January, cloud the way or make you sway one way or another about the Detroit Pistons. Right now, unless there's a major change of things that happen schedule-wise or injury-wise, or injuries to other teams in the Eastern Conference, something like that. But for the most part, I think that this team is going to be at a certain place. I'm going to tell you about where that place is going to be come the end of January. Pistons right now 10-14, 2.5 games outside of the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. They've coming off a stretch where they've won 4 out of 5. And if you look at the schedule of the next 5, they're probably going to lose 4 out of the next 5, you know, barring them getting an upset win, which they need to start doing. So certainly we don't expect them to come away 3-2 or 4-1 or anything like that. Would be nice to get 1 or 2 wins out of these next 5. And that's a roller coaster, right? You win 4 out of 5, you might lose 4 out of 5, and it will continue to be a roller coaster. These next 5 collectively tough games, after the 4 after that, they're not so bad. You might win 3 of those. Then the 4 after that are pretty tough. You're probably going to lose 3 out of 4 there. There's some wild swings of what amounts to 500 over this next stretch or so, or a little bit less than that. But after that, starting January 7th, there's a crazy run of games here where the Pistons were going to be favored to win 10 games in an 11-game stretch ending on January 27th. So after the new year, we're going to be on the Locked On Pistons podcast talking about win after win after win starting January 7th up until January 27th. That's a 21-day stretch of 11 games where the Pistons might mess around and win 10 of these games. I'm not predicting that. I think they slip up, you know, win 8 or something like that. But still, 8 out of 11 games is a really nice stretch. And that's going to be ending about a little more than a week before the trade deadline on February 7th. So I'm just saying, don't let a stretch that includes games like this starting on January 7th cloud your judgment. Here it is. January 7th at Cleveland, then home for Cleveland, home for Chicago, home for New Orleans, at Boston. Obviously, that's the tough wrench thrown into this group of games here. Then at Atlanta, at Washington, home for Sacramento, home for Memphis, home for Brooklyn, home for Cleveland. I'm telling you, there can't be a stretch of 11 easier games for any team in the NBA. I'm telling you right now, the Pistons might win 10 out of 11 of those games. Again, I'm not predicting that. Don't expect that. But they might even be above 500 at that point. You might go 9-2 in that stretch. You might go 8-3. You might be sitting here at that time. I predicted it. I kind of went through it. I know that's a feeble exercise to go through game by game. But in the NBA these days, those stretches or those exercises are a little bit less feeble, especially in the Eastern Conference, because it's such a haves and have-nots. There are obvious games that you should win. There are obvious games that you should lose if you're the Detroit Pistons. There's going to be some anomalies. You're going to lose some of the games you should win and vice versa. But I got this team sitting at, basically 25-23 at the end of the stretch, probably 500 exactly at the end of January, maybe one game over 500 on February 7th, overcoming this really bad start that they've had to be sitting here at 10-14. This is going to happen. I'm preparing you for it right now. Don't let this change your mind of what you think the Pistons should do, whatever you think that is. All the periphery numbers come January that people are going to throw at you, they're all going to be up. Their net rating is going to be great. The point differential is going to be unbelievable. They're going to be winning games. The individual players are going to be looking very good. Reggie Jackson might be returning to health. If this team stays healthy, they're going to be looking pretty good. This is going to happen. This is why I'm telling you, over these next few weeks into the end of the 19 part of the calendar, you kind of need to decide now. When you have that sober, level head, and I'm not trying to convince you to be on the rebuild train or what you should do. I'm just saying, don't watch the Pistons beat the Cavs three times in January, beat Chicago, beat New Orleans at home, beat Atlanta, beat Washington, beat Sacramento, beat Memphis, beat Brooklyn, and say, wow, this Pistons team is pretty good. Because no matter how it goes, they're still going to be in that 7-9 range in the East, where they're at right now. After that stretch, it doesn't really change a thing, because we know that after the All-Star break, they're going to have the toughest schedule in the NBA. There's a lot of stretches after the All-Star break. We're going to lose 3 out of 4. You're going to lose 4 out of 5. And holding on to Langston Galloway and Derrick Rose and Reggie Jackson, that's not really going to change any of that. So that's me detailing to you why it's important to formulate your opinion about what the Pistons need to be doing going forward at the trade deadline, before you get clouded by this 11-game stretch of games where they're going to win a whole lot of these games regardless of what they do. And it shouldn't change what you think about what this team should be doing come February. But up next, I'm going to give you my blueprint for the Pistons trade season. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later, listener Brandon is going to come on and tell us about a ticket offer where you can save money and also help a good cause this winter. But let's talk about the trade season. First off, let's get this out of the way right now. No buying. Do not buy at the trade deadline. Do not sacrifice future assets, whether that's picks or young players, in order to help out this season. I cannot stress this enough. Second, let me refer you, be a good company man, refer you to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Check out those guys. They talked a lot about trades on this week's episode. A name that came up in their discussion was Derrick Rose. They talked about how a team like Minnesota, Derrick Rose's old team, actually might be interested in him. But they also kind of agreed that Derrick Rose isn't worth a first-round pick. So that's kind of the Pistons' catch-22, right? You could throw Langston Galloway into that same kind of level, that same kind of discussion, and that there's two very usable players in Derrick Rose and Langston Galloway, and you could throw Reggie Jackson's expiring contract in there too. Very usable assets, very usable players. But I don't think that really any of those guys are worth a first-round pick themselves as individuals for a team to give up for. And if you're not getting a first-round pick, then as the Pistons' perspective, it's probably better off just sitting and waiting for the contracts to expire and come off your books this summer in terms of Langston Galloway and Reggie Jackson, or to bring back Derrick Rose for next year as a very valuable guy at a very reasonable contract, Or if you'd like, maybe just wait until summer to move Derrick Rose if you want to make some kind of rebuild type of deal. And obviously in Langston's case, and hopefully in Reggie's case, if he comes back healthy, those guys are usable players in addition the rest of this season, in addition to coming back possibly next year. In addition, you also get the bird rights for Reggie Jackson and Langston Galloway. Not that you'd want to give those guys raises, but you could sign your own free agents and still be over the cap. And that's a valuable thing as well. So here's what I would try to do with those three assets that I'm talking about. I would try to find ways to package the two of them together so that you can entice to get a late first-round pick or possibly some young assets that are out there that could be from teams that need more production than first- or second-year players at this point for a playoff push. And here's the team that I came up with, and let me know what you guys think about this move. I would call Elton Brand and the Philadelphia 76ers, who need three-point shooting from Langston Galloway and also need overall bench production from Derrick Rose. I think those two guys would fit in with that roster. I would offer the package of Derrick Rose and Langston Galloway, and I would ask for Oklahoma City's first-round pick for next year, which they have. Only conveys as a first-round pick if it's outside of the top 20, which I don't suspect will be the case. So that actually turns into two future second-round picks. So it's not super valuable in terms of Philly not wanting to give it up and the Pistons really wanting to covet it right now. So right now Oklahoma City's tied for the 15th pick in the draft, and I don't see that they're going to have a great second half of the season. So again, this is essentially two second-round picks, and they have an absolute war chest of second-round picks. You should be able to get one or two from them in a deal. But the most important piece that the Pistons would be getting back in this deal is a guy that was traded the 16th pick of the draft last year. He was traded for Mikal Bridges on draft night. Everyone loved the idea of Philly making this move. But unfortunately, he blew his knee out, missed pretty much all of last year. And, of course, I'm talking about Zaire Smith. 6'3", super athletic guy at a Texas Tech. Really disappointing career so far in two seasons in Philly. Someone who is in the G League for them right now, not helping out the Philadelphia 76ers on a team that's trying to win the championship, trying to go for it, giving Tobias Harris big money, playing Matisse Thybulle big minutes as a rookie. Obviously, you ask for Matisse Thybulle, but then they turn you down right away. But you get Zaire Smith, and you also take back Mike Scott, who's under contract next year, a power forward who steps in and kind of helps out the depth among the front court next year. Maybe you look to move Markieff Morris for a second-round pick or something like that. Mike Scott can take his minutes as you look ahead. So you'll probably need to add a couple bench guys at the end of the bench to make the salary work from Philly to Detroit. You can cut some of those guys right away if you don't want them. Raul Neto, a guy like that. James Ennis could make a return back to Detroit. Stuff like that. So that's a deal that I like. Mikal Bridges. Zaire Smith. The guy who was traded for Mikal Bridges, but Zaire Smith in that protected first-round pick. Maybe you get lucky and somehow Oklahoma City has a great end of the season and they end up giving you a first-round pick. Again, not likely. So basically, Mikal Bridges, Mike Scott, two second-round picks for Derrick Rose and Langston Galloway. See if they can make that get done with the Philadelphia Sixers. Let me know what you guys think about that one. But how about Blake Griffin? Obviously, this is a tough one with his salary in the middle of the season to make this move at the trade deadline. More likely that if you want to make a move, a rebuild type of move, this is probably one that gets done in the offseason, but you should definitely listen to offers. The three main suitors that I'm thinking about and hearing about are the Phoenix Suns, the Portland Trailblazers, and the Miami Heat. I think that the Pistons fans need to be rooting for Phoenix and Portland up until the trade deadline. Those teams need to believe that they can make the playoffs if they want to be involved in a Blake Griffin bidding war. Something to note about Miami, who I think is maybe the most likely team to make a deal. Unfortunately, they can't trade any of their first-round picks. They've already traded away their 2021 and 2023 first-round picks. So because of the Stepien rule, you can't trade consecutive first-round picks in consecutive years in the future. So they've already traded 2021, so they can't trade 2020. And since they've already traded 2021, they also can't trade 2022. And they've already traded 2023, so they can't trade 2024. So that's five straight first-round draft pick years that they can't move right now. Now, that's not to say that they can't acquire somebody else's in a separate deal and make a deal for their own or that other first-round pick. So not completely off the board, but complicates things nonetheless. How about a deal that centers around Justice Winslow? And I know he's got a bad history with Detroit. I think he said a comment about not getting picked by the Pistons and was happy about that. But we're going to let bygones be bygones in secret, made-up trade world. But you need more assets than that. Take back Myers Leonard as an expired deal. And then take back a couple of lottery tickets. Maybe that's Kendrick Nunn. Maybe that's Duncan Robinson. Maybe that's KZ Akpala. Some guys that could turn into pretty good players down the road. Duncan, obviously, with the shooting. KZ Akpala with the athleticism and potential that he has. And Kendrick Nunn, who I don't really like, but certainly a talent who had a pretty good first month to the season. How about Portland? We've talked quite a bit about Anthony Simons. Unfortunately, he's kind of played his way into being possibly more valuable than even Blake Griffin is. So I think Anthony Simons is a guy who could make it work for the Pistons. Or you maybe settle for Zach Collins and them sweetening in with first-round picks, things like that. I don't love Zach Collins, but you can swing for something. You could swing maybe something if you're desperate and really want to move Blake Griffin. And then looking at Phoenix, going to be tough for them to justify making a move. But obviously Tyler Johnson's got to be in this deal as an expiring big money contract, so he's going to be in it. As far as the assets that you want, Mikal Bridges would be a good one there. Javon Carter's a guy I like as a second-round point guard pick from last year. Maybe some other salary filler to make that deal work as well. So they don't have second-round picks for the next 2 years, but other than that, they've got picks to deal if you'd rather see draft picks instead. So I think from Phoenix with that deal, maybe you could get a protected first-round pick with gradually descending protections that could matriculate to a couple second-round picks down the road when they start to have their second-round picks available once again. So that's what I think. I think that's the kind of the parameters. You should get top-line guys that are worth it. You know, the Justice Winslows of the world, the Anthony Simons of the world, Mikal Bridges is the top assets in that draft. Don't just take salary filler for Blake Griffin. If it's a first-round pick, make it be a high first-round pick. That's kind of the guidelines that I believe that you should put on Blake Griffin. Kind of a side issue come trade season is Andre Drummond. I know we talk about him so much on this show, and rightfully so, because Blake Griffin's the best player on this team, but Andre Drummond, with his upcoming decisions on his option, upcoming decisions on his probable free agency, possible trades, the fact that he's 26 and should be in the long-term plans of some franchise in the NBA, and possibly that franchise being the Detroit Pistons right now, it's very complicated. I am interested in the Charlotte trade, the Charlotte rumors that were talked about last week. I know that Malik Monk is a guy who's a depreciating asset in some people's minds, but I would get him as a centerpiece of that deal. Obviously, you got to fill it up with some salaries. You might ask for some draft capital as well. The reason teams that would might want to trade for Andre Drummond as opposed to waiting for the summer is that these are teams that are probably see themselves or are already over the cap this summer. So they're trading for the bird rights to Andre Drummond so they can re-sign him and go over their own salary cap to do that, which is why there's a lot of value in Andre Drummond. Obviously, the player option adds a little bit of a wrinkle to all these kind of discussions, but that's why Andre Drummond becomes a pretty good option for the Charlotte Hornets. Also why he's a pretty good option for the Detroit Pistons to keep if they want to build around Andre Drummond going forward. And again, that's the big question, right? That's the eternal question for the Detroit Pistons going forward. But going forward for us, up next, listener Brandon is going to come on and tell us about a ticket offer where you can save money and also help with a really worthy cause here in the Detroit area. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and now we're being joined by Brandon Casto. Brandon's going to tell us about a special event coming up tied in with a Pistons game coming up this March as well. Brandon, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Matt.
Yeah, so tell us about the event tied in with the March 7th game against the Utah Jazz. What do you guys got going on?
So it's called Chaldean Assyrian Heritage Night. So this is a night, it's going to be co-hosted by Shlomo Foundation. And pretty much $5 from the sale of any ticket is going to go to our foundation. And what our foundation does is we try to provide help and support to minorities in the Nineveh Plains area, which is known as modern-day Iraq, Syria, Turkey. The people over there are very poor, neglected by their government, have been subject to a lot of oppression, genocide, and all that stuff because of their religious minority over there. So we try to help out as much as we can out there.
Yeah, and it sounds like a great cause to help out, and obviously a nice night of Pistons basketball for people too. Again, this is for the Utah Jazz game on Saturday, March 7th, which is a 7 o'clock Saturday game, so obviously a nice night out too. And as you mentioned in some of the literature you passed to me, nice ticket pricing, lower bowl corner tickets in Section 104 for $65, which is a nice value for those tickets, in upper bowl as well for $35 a piece. And not only just the game tickets, but some other perks included as well, right?
Yeah, so there's a free Pistons item for each ticket purchase, and you redeem it at the game. And after the game, anyone who purchases a ticket through the promo code gets a free throw shot after the game. So it's pretty cool. I've done it before, and it's a pretty cool experience being on the court.
Did you knock it down?
Nah, I missed. I should have taken off my jacket.
Yeah, okay. So now you got something to work up towards this time, and you can make sure it happens. So like Brandon says, the Schlama Foundation do a lot of great work. You can purchase the tickets at pistons.com, and that's /SHLAMA. And you can also give a call to Brady, the sales rep with the Pistons, 313-771-7461. You can also email him at bsteward, which is STEWARD, at pistons.com. Now, you got to get these ordered for this particular promo by February 7th. So the game is March 7th. You got to have these ordered by February 7th. Special pricing for a nice Saturday night game. And what could be an important one for the Pistons, obviously, is that we look ahead towards – a little bit of a playoff push, hopefully, in the spring. And we'll see how that all came about. I was at the Jazz game last year against the Pistons at LCA, and it was a good one. I mean, you had Donovan Mitchell there, went down to the final couple possessions. The Jazz obviously only come in once a year, so a pretty good night there. But Brandon, again, the event is called the Chaldean Assyrian Heritage Night, and that's coming up. And see if you're going to be like Brandon and this time knock down the free throws, right?
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully, you know, we cheer loud enough and make sure the Jazz don't make their free throws. I know, I think last year when they played in Detroit, Heckler got into Donovan Mitchell's head and he ended up icing the game on us. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, that's right. And I remember he was talking after the game about how the Heckler fueled him to victory. But like he said, hopefully we can get his head this time and get the right result. And obviously Rudy Gobert against Andre Drummond, always a good matchup there. But if you're looking for holiday gift ideas, Pistons tickets, always a good one. And not only can you see a pretty important game for the Pistons, but help out a great cause. And we appreciate Brandon for telling us the details.
Yeah, thank you very much. And also, you guys are more than welcome to go to schlama.org. That's SHLAMA.org. You can see more about what we do. Schlama in Assyrian, Chaldean, Aramaic, the language. It stands for peace. So we're over here just trying to spread peace, trying to spread love, and that's what we're all about. So any contributions really do help.
Thanks so much to Brandon for coming on and joining us again and talking about the Schlama Foundation and the Chaldean Assyrian Heritage Night coming up. I'm going to give you the details one more time. The game is on March 7th, Saturday night at 7 o'clock against the Jazz. Exclusive ticket pricing, lower bowl corner seats in Section 104. For $65, that's a $97 value. The upper bowl corner, Section 209, for $35, it's a $56 value. Free Pistons item for each ticket purchased. You can redeem that at the game. And the post-game free throw at the court as well. And hopefully you can knock yours down. And of your purchase, $5 donation is given from the Pistons to the Schlama Foundation. And pistons.com/SHLAMA for more to purchase, actually. And you can also call Brady Stewart at 313-771-7461. He's with the Pistons. Or email him at bsteward, which is B-S-T-E-W-A-R-D, at pistons.com. The deadline to order these tickets at this special rate and to have it kick in to the Schlama Foundation is February 7th. But I would recommend getting that done sooner rather than later, because these supplies may not last, and plus, as you know, a great time to pick up those holiday gifts right now and give them to the people in your lives who need to be down at Little Caesars Arena to watch Donovan Mitchell take on the Pistons. So that'll do it for our show. Like I said, we're going to have Brian Zillum of the Blue Hardwood podcast on tomorrow, talking Luka Doncic, Rick Carlisle, Boban Marjanovic, and the Dallas Mavericks. Some familiar faces in there. As always fun talking to Brian, my good buddy down in Austin. covering the team. And so they'll do it. So let me know what you think about the trade discussions. 810-666-1546. Leave a voicemail on the Google voicemail line. 810-666-1546. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening. Enjoy your Wednesday. Talk to you guys tomorrow.